Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and I tell you what, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we all start our days. Some of us have to start our day traveling, going down the road, commuting to work. I have to do that too, but it takes me about 30, 45 seconds to go from one end of the house to my office. Some of us are able to get up and go work out early and, you know, before we go to work. Some of us get to sleep in late and then go to work. You know, I personally get to get up usually between 5 and 5:30 and go out and just breathe in the fresh air of the beach. Sometimes a little oily smelling lately, but just to look at that and just say, God, thanks, man, for what you've given me, the blessings. And I meet with my good friend and accountability partner, Dr. Tim Douglas, go through some personal stuff, some prayer, brainstorming, meditation. Then I get to come back and do this radio show. And this is a highlight of my day. It sets my tone. That's how I interact with people. And the books that we talk about, the authors that we meet, are unbelievable. And in this copy of Predictable Success, Getting Your Organization on the Growth Track and Keeping It There, Les McCune has done a phenomenal job. This is a business book. This isn't a book built around direct selling, network marketing, home-based business per se. But as I started studying this book, and as you guys know, I take every book and I look at where my life is. I take these books and I say, okay, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm on the internet. I have home-based business background. How can I help people who listen to our show? How can I help our listeners, our fans out there, take and digest this book in a way that will allow them to understand how to use these principles that work for multi-million dollar businesses and put it down into everyday grassroots. It doesn't matter if you're building maybe you make homemade pens out of wood like I do, or you make yo-yos and toys and you say, I want to sell that. Maybe you want to start an eBay business. Maybe you want to help your daughter, like I'm doing right now, start a scrapbooking website. Doesn't matter what it is. What Les talks about in this book, Predictable Success, is powerful. One of the things he has on the front cover, and I'm assuming this will be the final cover, it's the advanced reader's copy, but listen to this. A critical tool for everyday business, division, department, project, group, or team. Man, this is powerful. We're on chapter 2 today. Early struggles. This is the first of 7 positions throughout a predictable success business model that you look at. It says, grasping for cash, finding a market, overcoming gravity to achieve takeoff. Now, a lot of people might be looking at this and say, Troy, we're in network marketing. We don't have to worry about cash. We're self-funded. We got a real-time job. Well, if that was the case, we would not see people, about 85 to 90% of the industry, that continues to jump from one company to the other, and we're going to discuss this. Listen to what Les writes here. I love the way he writes. Again, he writes like Dondi and John Maxwell. He tells these stories as he's walking us through his life as a serial entrepreneur. And I find this very interesting. He says, it was a bleak Belfast day with rain splattering against the window. I was sitting in a well-appointed boardroom with my then-business partner, Ronnie. We'd sat side by side at the conference table, poring over spreadsheets. Both of us had been accountants in our previous life, boy, I know those feelings, and had no excuse for not understanding what we were seeing. Our business was aborting on takeoff. 2 years earlier, Ronnie and I had formed a corporation to acquire the master license for the Pizza Hut franchise in Ireland, which committed us to opening 10 restaurants in 5 years. Now, 2 years into it and 4 restaurants later, we were hemorrhaging cash. We had seriously underestimated the capital we needed to acquire leases and build the restaurants, new construction. Everything had basically just been shuttered to a halt. If we didn't do something soon, the franchisor would pull our license and everything we'd accomplished so far would be lost. As we pondered our positions, I stood up and strolled to the large window overlooking Belfast's bustling street. Still crowded in the rain. Of course, he says, in Ireland, if you stay inside when it rains, you'll never go out. so many people, I thought, and yet we only need a small percentage of them to eat at our restaurant. I knew this business wasn't complicated. Get enough people in the door, control your labor and food costs, and bingo, you're in profit. I can attest to that. I've run restaurants and owned them. It was the simplicity and formulaic nature of the business that had attracted Ronnie and I to the Pizza Hut franchise. So what had gone wrong? If the formula was so simple, man, think about that for a minute. If the formula was so simple, why were we struggling to get off the ground? Looking at the spreadsheets, the answer was pretty straightforward and hardly original or unique to us. We were simply running out of the fuel we needed, in their case, cash, to get the takeoff. If you're in direct selling, if you're a small home-based business, if you're working on the internet, I want you to replace the word cash with eyeballs. See, what would happen in a network marketing business, in an internet marketing business, in a home-based business just about of any kind, is not that you're running out of cash per se, but you're running out of people to talk to. You're not getting the people in front of you. You're at the stages of where Les was. They weren't getting people through the door. You're not getting people to your website, to your meeting, on the telephone. See, the question is, how can you overcome the gravity of liftoff? Les goes on and he says, you know, as a 13-year-old boy, I watched the five massive F1 engines of the Saturn V rocket lifting Apollo 11 into space. I want you to listen to that for a second. The five massive F1 engines. Are you in your business right now looking at just one rocket? Are you looking at just one marketing channel that you're trying to bring those eyeballs to your business? Are you just using the telephone? Are you just using one-on-one meetings, sitting around at the kitchen table? Are you just hoping that social networking will help? Are you just using email marketing still, as antiquated as that is for most people? Think about that. If it took five engines to lift off Apollo 11, how many engines should it take to lift off your business? Now, that's a whole other training, but I want you to think about that for a minute. Here's what Les writes. He said, we had seriously underestimated the resource we needed to get the business off the ground. We were trying to take off with one engine when we really needed five. Guys, think about this. Even in network marketing, most people that do not reach the success level that they're wanting to never have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you're destined to fail. This is the 21st century. There are all kinds of competitors. This is not like the 1800s, where you could go out west, stake your ground, grab some cattle, and become a millionaire. This takes some strategy. Les writes this, and I find this very interesting. Over the next 15 years, as I helped launch over 40 businesses, I would recall that image of Apollo 11 taking off. The sheer energy and power needed to lift Apollo 11 off the tarmac and into orbit over and over again until eventually it became linked in my mind. Now listen, I'll use it even better. He did Apollo 11. NASA's got what's called Max-Q, okay? And Max-Q is when the actual shutter breaks through the atmosphere. And when you hit max Q, you are blowing and going. And you're at the right angle, usually about a 39, 40 degree angle. And you penetrate the atmosphere and it shoots you through to the other side. You've got to be able to hit max Q if you're going to make this thing fly. That's the key right there. Les writes this. Realize that what we experienced at Pizza Hut was simply one version of something which to a greater or lesser extent I would experience every time I launched a new business. See, here's the kicker, guys. You cannot, early struggle is what this is called. It's the first stage of the game, and you cannot misplace it. You cannot get around it. When you're in network marketing, when you are focused on your business, you are struggling. You have those early struggles that are there. Les writes this, no matter how a new venture is launched, no matter what preparations you make or how much you think you've learned from the last time, the first stage in every new venture is a fight to achieve liftoff. I gave it the name Early Struggle. Folks, it's this way in everything. Do you realize your marriage was this way? Man, I know mine was. My marriage was hell that first 5 years. It was me to her. But it's that way until that relationship grows. You know, something that I saw this last week was that the Gores, after 40-some-odd years of marriage, are getting divorced because they'd grown apart. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I started reading Les's book, and I realized their marriage had gone all the way back to the early struggle. They had gone from all seven, boom, 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 all the way back. Your network marketing business will be that way. Your home-based business will be that way. Your internet marketing business, any business, anybody that listens to this show, and we get a lot of people, is going to be that way. Les writes this, most importantly, I've discovered that while early struggle is never exactly the same for each new venture, the skills, the knowledge, the experience of the founding entrepreneurs, how to establish the product, the market, and how all that, that's all different. And while that's true, the intentionality and the duration of the early struggle can vary greatly. The one thing is sure, you're going to hit it. There is nobody that cannot miss the early struggle. I don't care if you're a network marketing CEO, and thank God I've got plenty of you that listen to this show. You're going to go through this stage. You know, what I see from most CEOs, and they don't realize this, just like most field leaders don't, you get the pizzazz, you get the excitement, you guys are kicking butt, you're cranking, you hit the black in that first 30 to 90 days, and you are stoked. You're not even at a pre-launch. But what you don't realize is you're still defining yourself. You don't even have your brand down all the way yet. And most of the time, the ones that don't make it, as we're going to talk about here in a minute, are the ones that don't understand how to use that fuel correctly in the beginning. See, that's the kicker to all this. So let's ask the question, what is early struggle? How do you define that? Listen to what Les says. Of all the stages in predictable success, the first, which is early struggle, is the easiest to define. It's a race to establish a viable market before the initial cash runs out. Think about that for a minute. In your business, whether you're in the field or whether you're running a company, it's a race to establish a viable market before the initial cash runs out. See, that's the key right there. Most of the time, we get excited. We're in the people business. If it's done right, we will have an endless flow of cash rolling through the doors from day one. If the business is built correctly, all kinds of awesome stuff can happen. But one screw-up, too much money to one person, too much of a big dog in the field that can dictate the growth or the decline of the company, and the next thing you know, it's history. But see, there are two unknowns, only two, but there's two unknowns in the early stage. Number one, you got to write this down. You got to ask yourself this question. Are there enough people out there who will buy your product or service at a profit? So you can't just launch any company. You cannot just join any business. You have got to make sure, is there truly a viable market? Now, let me use an example right now. The MLM wireless niche, which I am just, it's in shambles. And here's why. They're promoting services, wireless services, and they're trying to undercut the tier one. And they're saying, man, you can get the better deal. Come through us. Let us help you. Here's the dilemma with that. Almost every company that I have found has some type of a monthly membership fee, an auto ship fee, something that's there that they're charging folks. Now you got to add that upon the service that you get, and very quickly you realize it's costing you more money if you don't know what you're doing. See, are there enough people who will get into your business for your product or your service so you can make a profit? Number two, do you have enough fuel to pay the bills until you find them? Now, here's the kicker. When you're launching a business from a CEO standpoint, do you have enough cash to build the distributor base in a pre-launch situation so that when you open the doors, you've got services to give or products to give to the end user? I'm going to have BK Barreco this weekend on Aces Radio Live. We're going to talk about what BK's done in his marketing to build his company, to fulfill the destiny that his mom and dad started. It's going to be an awesome time. You're going to want to be on that show. So you've got to look at all of these. And I think that that's the key here. Listen to what Les has to say, and I'm going to put this in a term that you guys are going to be, you're going to see what I'm talking about here. Listen, although it can vary considerably from business to business, which successfully make it through the early stages, the phase generally lasts, the early stage phase is what he's talking about, generally lasts 3 years and looks something like this. Year one, get up and running, work out the operational details, and establish the supply chain. Year two, prove the market, obtain a constant flow of customers, and get the pricing structure right. Year three, gain sustained traction in the marketplace and generate operational cash inflows that exceed the outflows on a regular basis. 3 years to do this right. Network marketers hardly give themselves 90 days, 60 days, maybe a year. Most network marketing companies, there'll be 1,000 or so, will start at any given time. At the end of the year, maybe 1, 2, maybe 10 make it. Network marketers jump from company to company to company. Why? Because they don't have a plan. They don't realize this is a business. It's not a hobby. If you're launching something, if you think that you're a businessman and you're saying, man, that network marketing niche kicks butt, look at the cash that's there, it doesn't work that way. You've got to get up and running and work out the operational details. I've got a company called Kivana we're going to be doing a review on our blog. When this company first launched 9-10 months ago now, I looked at their website and said, this sucks. You know, this is crazy. You know what their name of their company was? Nuco. They didn't even do it. They did it right. They took their time in their pre-launch phase until they were ready, and then they launched it. They have a plan that goes out 20 years. I talked to a network marketing company the other day. They'd been in business 3 years, didn't even have a plan put together yet. Folks, if you're in the business, whether you're at the corporate level or in the field, you've got to put a three-year plan. 36 months is such a short time period. That's what you've got to look at. Les says there's three main variables that determine how long early struggle will last. One, how easily can you access external funding? In the network marketing arena, that means how fast can you start building a team in pre-launch and start getting the funds flowing through the doors, get products and services in their hands, get them excited so they go out there and share the business opportunity with people. Number two, how quickly can you find a viable market for your product or service? See, once you've decided on what your product and service is going to be, you better find the market and find it fast. And number three, how effective are you at using it to get you where you want to go? See, that's the key. There's a unique danger that he talks about in here. If your business fails to make it out of early struggle, it's dead. It's the one, early struggle is the starting point. There is no backing up. There is no going backwards and regaining momentum. It's dead. This is a killer for most people, guys. If you want your business to sustain predictable success, then you need to understand that the first position, early struggle, is the key position that you've got to get through. You break through that with Max Q. You break through that with your gravity. You kick butt. You'll make it. But see, the estimates worldwide are 80% of businesses never make it through there. Listen to what I'm going to say here. I believe that the reason 80% of network marketers will jump 10, 12, 13, 14, 20 companies is because they never get through early struggle in the first one. See, that's the kicker right there. And early struggle should one of your main objectives should be to get through it as fast as possible. Don't let that be 3 years. Let it be one. Collapse the time frames, kick some butt, get through there. But listen, Les gives a valid, very viable warning here. Listen to this. Beware of becoming involved with people who are addicted to early success. One of the things that I have seen, it's a flaw in network marketing, and I love this profession. is that when people start to see that they're failing, what do? They jump to a new company. And they jump, and they jump, and they jump, and they jump. They jump from one company to the next over and over. Sometimes they build great followings. They're leaders that have become addicted. And all they care about is, let's get as many people in up front because this probably isn't going to last. It's going to be gone in 12 months. We'll have to find a new company, but we'll be prepared then. And they jump, and they jump, and they jump. Some guys are CEOs. And you see them launch a new company every 12 to 18 months. You cannot be that way. And we're not talking about serial entrepreneurs who have their hands in them. I'm talking about people that literally, you look at their companies and they've never successfully sold them or watched them go on to become something else. You do not want this to happen to you. Ever. Make sure that you do not get stuck in what he calls ESO, early struggle obsessiveness. So how do you get out of early struggle? We got 10 minutes. I'm going to share this with you. Number one. Maximize your access to external funding. You look at your performance. You put it down on your paper. If you're a brand new distributor in the field, you've got to know exactly how much cash you need, not just for auto ship, how much you're going to need for your marketing, how much you need to run your website, what are you going to need for your phone bill? Are you going to have to generate professional leads, or are you going to buy them from a lead generation company? You got to put all this down on paper so you know how much you need a month, and now you need to make sure that you can cover that for 12 months to 18 months to 3 years, whatever it takes. How fast and how quickly can you get through that? Now, here's a rule of thumb that Les gives us. Whatever that number is that you put down on that paper, triple it, because you're going to need more money. You're going to need more eyeballs. You're going to need something. You've got to be able to cover it. If it's cash that you're looking for, put that down. If it's downline members, triple it. If it's customers, triple it. Whatever it takes, you got to triple that. Les says something here that I think is important, because I talked to a CEO yesterday. It's cost him seven figures to launch his company, and it's not out of pre-launch. I talked to another CEO, and he doesn't have a pot to pee in. He's doing it on a bootleg. Listen to what it says here. A quick word about bootstrapping. What if you're launching your business on a wing and a prayer, using credit cards, keeping things tight, starting small, allowing the business to grow without recourse to traditional external sources of capital? He says two things to think about. First, it's a great way to launch a business. He's done it himself more than once. He's done it more than once. Secondly, the same rules apply. However much you estimate you'll need in cash on your credit cards, pulling from your 401k, funding from sales, whatever, triple it. Because no matter what, the rule still applies. Remember, folks, this is how Les writes this. Remember that statistics on failures during the early struggle is 80%. Many of those businesses failed simply because they were underfunded. Don't try to expand too fast. Make sure you've got the funding, whether it's cash or people, that you need to launch your business. And those are the two funding sources you need. And then do it right. Number two. Minimize the path to viable market. Man, this is great. Listen to this. One of the most important reasons for securing readily access to external funding is simply so that you can focus on something much more important, finding the viable market. Believe it or not, a lot of businesses never make it out of early struggle because they concentrate too much on raising the capital. So you can't focus too much on finding funding or focus too much on getting people so bad that you're willing to pay to bring in top leaders thinking they're going to help you out. Here's the four things that you need to do. Number one, prioritize. If you want to be able to minimize the path to a viable market, prioritize. Get closer to what it is you really need. Okay? You've got to focus on your number one priority, and that's having a viable market. Okay? Number two, this is great, listen. For some reason, I've never been able to quite fathom the vast majority of new businesses that jump into life in full-formed transmit mode. Remember that Kivana that I told you about? They didn't form anything. They didn't form their brand, didn't have a product. They just said, we're going to go into business together. And listen, you need to do that. But here's what I see happen. I see this happen to brand new distributors. I see it happen to CEOs, and he hits it right on the deal. He says these new businesses barge into the marketplace like a boorish first date. talking insensitively all about themselves, who they are, what they do, their value proposition, barely taking a breath, certainly never asking questions about the pretty, sexy girl opposite of them. I've got a CEO that I just love. He never comes on this radio show. He doesn't have time. I've given him free advice so much that he doesn't even value that advice anymore, and I basically have stopped giving it. When he talks, he never shuts up and listens. I've watched one gigantic deal walk away from the table because instead of him asking them about their business model and how we could serve them, he talked about himself, talked about his business. When he creates the plans that he puts together for people, the presentations, it's all about the company, it's all about the product, it's all about the service. Nowhere in there is there a place for them to build a relationship with that business that they're dealing with. To listen. You have to listen. Unless you're heavily into rejection, and then it doesn't matter. You know, that's the key. Les says this, plan to start your business in listen mode. You will find out where your customers really are. Number three was to experiment so that your business is there. Just experiment a little bit. Number four was adapt. Those are the four things underneath the heading, minimize the path to a viable market. Number three, connect your funding to your market in as a short distance as possible. I thought, man, I love this. I love this. Most networkers don't do this. Most business owners don't do this because we know that 80% of them fail. Here's what you don't do. If you're launching a brand new network marketing business, don't go get fancy offices and custom design work and fake it till you make it. Go out and get you some IKEA furniture or something. Do a viral. Do it virtual if you need to. Get home-based business people to answer your telephones. Use an office in your house. Go find a virtual private network to run your servers off of. Do whatever it takes in the beginning. Don't overspend the cash. Number two, consulting fees. In network marketing, don't buy those top positions. If a guy comes to you or a gal and says, hey, I'll be more than happy to join your business as a master distributor if you guarantee me 6-7 figures a year for the first 12 months while we get this thing rolling and my expenses. Man, don't do that. You're going to need some good legal counsel. You're going to need some good consulting, but you don't need to buy this crap. Don't delegate what you need to be listening for yourself, whether you're in the field or what. I've seen brand new networkers buy positions. They don't have a clue what they're doing. Don't do that. And number three is on the branding. You're not going to get your branding right in the beginning, Les says, so don't spend money as if you have. Look, your brand's going to evolve. You need to be branding. You need to be doing some social networking. You need to be doing some great stuff like that. But you know what? Not just do I have these services that are inexpensive, other people do too. Here's the kicker on this. Most people overspend and they get underdelivered. Don't do that. Throughout the early struggle, keep your ultimate goal in the forefront of your mind at all times. Listen to this. Les is beautiful at this. Every dollar you spend should take you a step closer to finding a viable market for your product or service.
That's
key right there. If you've got your startup funding, then check. Focus on finding the viable market. You've got that, check. Begin being smart about using your funding to find your market. Check. Cool. Now it's time to move forward and have some fun. See, now it's time. If you've got all that stuff on there and you say, Troy, we are rocking, dude. All right, now we're going to go to position number two, and that's having fun. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about sell, fast, and early success. Folks, this book, Predictable Success, you can go to predictablesuccess.com, Les McCune. You can find him on Facebook. Fantastic. Man, great nuggets. I couldn't even cover everything in this chapter today. But yet I'm telling you, it can change your business life. We do a lot of training on this radio show. A lot of coaching, a lot of mentoring, a lot of equipping. You got Tom Hopp for personal stuff. You got Les McCune on business. You got Dondi Scamanci on your career. You got John Maxwell on your leadership. You got little old Troy Dooley trying to put it all together. And I tell you what, I've watched my business increase this year. Your business can increase too. And I'm not even actively building a business anymore. I'm actually out there consulting. Folks, it'll change your life. Live life like it's an epic adventure. Come back tomorrow Radio for your mind, predictable success. I'll see you at the top. Bye now.